Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16, and it's the resurrection of Jesus. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is a place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as I told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of Christ.
Can I invite all the children to the front, please? How is everyone today? Lots of kids. Oh, we're coming over here. What beautiful Easter dresses. Yeah, you're here. Yay. Emma's here too. Yes. There we go. Happy Easter, everybody. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Things have changed here since you were here last week. What have we done that's different? What is it different? The paintings? What do the paintings say? Alleluia. Does anybody know what Alleluia is? We just sort of said that word. Hallelujah and Alleluia are pretty much the same words. They're expressions of happiness. Why are we so happy? Because Jesus has come again? Yes, because we're celebrating. What's today? Easter. Easter is one of the most important days that we celebrate, or it is the most important day that we celebrate in a Christian church. And one of the things that you may notice on all of those signs, there's something that's similar on every single one of those pictures. The letters, yes, Nigel. Butterflies. There's butterflies on every single one of those. Why do you think that we have butterflies? Emma. Yes, the butterflies are an Easter symbol. Does anybody know why butterflies are an Easter symbol? Because they were looking for food. What did you say, Nigel? You knew, but you forget. Does anybody remember why butterflies are an Easter symbol? Pardon me? Eggs and bunnies are too, but butterflies are a little bit, because Jesus was in the garden. Jesus was at a tomb. Actually, it's about how butterflies live, and they compare that to how Jesus lived. So butterflies are first caterpillars. So that's equivalent to Jesus' life on earth. He lived on earth, and he ate, and he breathed, and he lived just like a caterpillar did. And then what happened? Okay. Jesus was then put on a cross on Friday. If anybody was at the Good Friday service, we talked about that. And then they put Jesus in a, do you remember where Jesus went after that? In a tomb. And what's a tomb like? It's dark, in cave, and it's just like a, what's a butterfly? Right. A cocoon. Right, a cocoon. A tomb and a cocoon. Cocoon are very similar. And then something happened, right? Something happened in the tomb, and something happens in a cocoon. A volcano. It changed. Transformation, yes. A butterfly comes out of a cocoon, and Jesus was risen. We call that resurrection. And that's part of it. So would you guys all grab yourself an egg? An egg is like, do you want to hand some out, the ones that are in the front, to make sure everybody gets an egg? Has everybody got one? There. Whoops. Careful. Uh-oh. What's inside? Grace needs one. Has everybody got one? So what's inside? A butterfly. These butterflies are for you to remember the resurrection. Did everybody get one? You're going to have the candy right now? Sorry, Clayton. Okay, well, the chocolate's just an extra special treat as long as your parents say it's okay. The butterfly, though, the butterfly is our Easter symbol. And it's for us to remember that it's Easter. Here. Okay? Okay. So you guys are headed off to Sunday school, but we're going to have a prayer before you do that, okay? So let's take a moment. Let's take a moment and have a prayer, okay? Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for butterfly moments, for Jesus being alive, for resurrection. Thank you for life, gracious God. Amen.
And now I'm reading from the book of Acts, starting at chapter 10. The Gentiles are hearing the good news. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he was the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Christ is risen. That's good news, people. Christ has risen. Did you notice when I said Christ is risen, I did not use a single qualifier? I did not say, Christ is risen for you Christians, or Christ is risen for you who sit in these pews this morning, or Christ is risen for those who profess their faith in Jesus Christ. I did not say Christ is risen for Canadians or Americans or those of white skin and speak English. I did not say Christ is risen for those who walk the straight and narrow, or Christ has risen for those who live virtuous lives and pay their taxes on time. Nor did I say Christ is risen for students who get A's or successful people who have all the cultural goodies like a house and a car and a good job. I did not say that Christ is risen for good people or people who are trying their best, or for those who live a good life. I said, Christ is risen. And when I say that, I mean, Christ is risen for all, for everyone. Christ is risen for everyone, including you, including me, and including everyone in between. Christ is risen for all those who sit in church pews this morning and those still lingering in their warm beds, avoiding the snow. Christ is risen for the successful and the failures, for the lost and the found, for the good and the bad, and the beautiful and the ugly. Christ is risen for foolish and wise people, kind people and mean people, law abiders and rule breakers too. Jesus Christ has risen today, out of the darkness of the tomb, from the despair of Holy Week. Joy comes with the dawn, and Christ is risen. Joy comes with the dawn, joy comes with the morning sun, joy springs from the tomb and scatters the night with her song. Joy comes with the dawn. The resurrection happened. Long ago, I accepted the fact that the evidence of a resurrection requires an act of faith to understand. This central truth of what it means to be Christian requires an act. Our former moderator, David Giuliano, in an Easter reflection in The Observer once said, what we call the resurrection is a defining moment, the birth of our people. It is the pinnacle of God self-revealing through Jesus. there is suffering and there is death and there is end, and always there is rising to new life. The Easter story is not only an experience, it is an event. It is a way of life. The resurrection lives into the truth that death is never the end. Resurrection is. We not only look forward to a future that has been designed by God, but we also have opportunities to experience Easter moments in the midst of our everyday lives. We know that death and sorrow stand nearby. Whether it be physical death, the loss of a job, the loss of relationship, the loss of a dream. But resurrection also needs to be noticed at the edge of our lives. We have all known the wonder of a healing, a new job, a new love, a new dream being born out of the agony of hopelessness. Making Easter a way of life means that we are unwilling to settle for death in any of its forms. We are unwilling to give up hope and belief that new life is always being offered to us by God. We are unwilling to be ground down by grief when God's grace gives and gives and gives some more. This has to mean something for each one of us. That when we face the empty tombs of our lives, the losses and the disappointments, the heartbreaks and the failures, the tragic deaths and the prolonged illnesses, the loneliness and the despair, the tombs of our Friday lives, Jesus shares them too. But Jesus also shares Sunday and resurrection and new life and new hope with us. This wasn't a one-time thing. It wasn't the resurrection of Jesus just didn't happen then and there. It was instead the dawning of a new day and new life as well that continues to dawn over and over again. In the darkness of a tomb, from the despair of Holy Week, joy comes with the dawn and Christ is risen. Joy comes with the dawn, joy comes with the morning sun, joy springs from the tomb and scatters the night with her song. Joy comes with the dawn. And so it was that a group of women got up really early in the morning because they have a job to finish. Because of the Sabbath, they could not finish preparing Jesus' body for burial, so they set off in darkness on the Sunday to finish up what they had started. I imagine they were a dispirited group of grieving women, suffering because of the loss of the one they held so dear. And when they arrive at the tomb, they realize that something is not right. The stone that is supposed to be in front of the opening has been rolled away. So as they cautiously go forward, cautiously look into the opening of the tomb to find what they hope will be the body so that they can spice it and wrap it in its burial cloths, what they discover instead is that the body is not there. Suddenly, though, they are in the presence of a dazzling man who tells them that Jesus has risen. The first Easter moment, which I think would take some time to sink in. And so they are reminded by this dazzling white man what Jesus had told them, that he had predicted this very thing. In this new understanding, they are then told to go and share this incredible news with the rest of the 11 disciples. But according to Mark, they don't. They tell no one. They say nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Resurrection? Something has happened, though. Something has shifted. These women's lives will never be the same again. I imagine that besides the fear within this woman, they must have also had that beginning of a sense of wonder, that little bit of awe, that burgeoning hope, fulfilling, that when you can't quite believe that something's happened, that it doesn't seem like it can really be true, but you still have that feeling within your side, yourself, that something amazing may just be taking place. Even though these women go and tell no one, the word still gets out. It does not tell us in this version of the resurrection when they finally experience that joy that comes with the dawn, but we know from the rest of the story that they did. And these women and subsequently these men's, these disciples' lives were forever transformed by that moment in the empty tomb. Out of the darkness of that tomb, from the despair of Holy Week, comes the joy, comes with the dawn, and Christ is risen. One of my favorite books is The Color Purple. The main character, the narrator, tells us her story through letters that she first addresses to her sister and then addresses to God. Main character is Celie. She is a poor black woman. She has been abused all her life. But she has somebody in her life who loves her, her sister Nettie, who gets chased away by Celie's violent husband, Albert. Albert will not let Celie get the mail. So Celie never hears from Nettie, and she starts to believe that her sister is dead. But Nettie isn't dead. She has gone to Africa as a missionary, and she writes Celie many letters over the years. She never gets a reply, but she keeps on writing these letters to Celie anyways. Then one day, Celie finds the packet of letters from Nettie that Albert has stashed away under the floorboards. And this is what she reads. "Dear Celie, I know you think I'm dead, but I am not. I've been writing to you too over the years, but Albert said you'd never hear from me again, and since I never heard from you all this time, I guess he was right. There is so much to tell you that I don't know hardly where to begin. But if this gets through, one thing I want you to know, I love you, and I'm not dead. I love you, and I'm not dead. You may think that I am dead and that you are unloved, but I am not dead, and you are loved. Celie suffers terrible childhood abuse from her father and further abuse from her forced marriage to a violent man. She has both of her children taken away from her and her sister driven out from her life. But God loves Celie. And her life, so full of hardship because of the hard-heartedness of others, is transformed anyways. When Celie and Nettie are both old and gray, they are finally reunited. And they fall down on the ground with joy, and these are Celie's words. Everyone must be thinking how old we look. But I don't think us feel old at all. We us so happy. Matter of fact, I think this is the youngest us ever felt. Celie finally experiences the joy that comes with the dawn, and her life was forever transformed. Out of the darkness of the tomb, from the despair of Holy Week, joy comes with the dawn, and Christ is risen. Christ is risen here in Kitchener in 2015 and meets us here today in this church this morning. It's Easter Sunday, the day of resurrection, the day that we step back and realize one more time that this world is God's world, and that somehow and in some way, out of the darkness of that tomb, the light has come and everything changed in the blink of an eye, because this was God's resurrection moment. Joy comes with the dawn. Hope springs from the tomb. Night is scattered with God's song of joy. You know, we all need a resurrection. We all need to know that God is in charge and that our world is in God's hands, and that death is never, ever the last word. And into the midst of the everyday life, in our breathing out and in our breathing in, that is where we encounter the holy. In our breathing in and our breathing out, there is God. I know that for me here in this moment, I welcome this resurrection. I need to feel God getting into my life and God's possibilities of transformation surrounding me, because I need this resurrection, because our family is still living in transition, and because my father has been ill and my sisters and I live far away from him, and my daughter still won't sleep through the night, and my mom is no longer with us and I miss her, and my second daughter, granddaughter, will be born soon in a province far away, and spring seems like it's never coming. I need this resurrection because it promises that in the end, life prevails, and death loses, and God gets in, and wrongs are made right, and hope triumphs, and love and light prevail, and light wins out over darkness every single time. The resurrection offers us a lens so that we can see God, things as God intended them to be. Resurrection transforms tragedy and heals brokenness. Resurrection awakens me to Jesus' presence in the ordinary and the challenging events of every day. Resurrection is God's resounding yes. We're about to share a resurrection meal. Eat from the table where we proclaim that this table is God's table. And so at this table, every last one of us that Christ was risen for, every last one of us is welcome, especially the last and the least. And everyone is invited, especially the poor and the prostitutes and the weak and the heavy laden and the troubled and the stricken. And the bread and the cup is shared with all, with young and with old, with rich and with poor, with the prisoner and with the free, with male or female, straight or gay, black or white, pink or green. This table belongs to God, this resurrection God, this Christ is risen God. And it is for all of us. So come one and come all and share in this feast on this day as we celebrate this resurrection event out of the darkness of the tomb. From the despair of Holy Week, joy comes with the dawn. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Holy One, it started as a quiet morning, with a fringe of sadness hovering over the mist of the newly risen sun. Women set to do the loving ordinary, only to discover the terror of the extraordinary. An empty tomb, a word of the risen Christ, a message to share, but kept quiet in amazed and fearful hearts. You, O risen one, with your promise of life, by your saying no to death and proclaiming freedom, leaves us at times speechless and afraid of the power of love. Today, however, we sing our ancient alleluias. We see your tender care in the faces of children. We taste your majesty in the simple glory of sunrises. We hear your beauty in the magnificence of music and song and prayer, and celebrate that life and love. Tomorrow, O risen one, we might be on the path alone and wondering where you might be as we visit the empty tomb again. We pray that you would be with the sick and the suffering, the least of these and the forgotten corners of our world. We pray that you would be with the grieving, the hurting, the lost and the lonely, those who live in violence, those who live in pain, those who are facing their death, and those who are walking with them. We pray, O risen one, that as your people, that the terror of the extraordinary, the truth of your life, your everlasting abundant life might transform and change us, allaying our fears, strengthening our faith, so that we might be your hands and feet and voice and love in this world. We pray today for Debbie, for Joan and Jack and June and Colin, for Heidi and Ray and Peter and Kim, for Bo Baker and his family, for Joanne, for Barbara and Daniel and Madeline and Carolyn and all those who we carry in our hearts. We pray for your world, that violence may cease, that peace may come, that people will not live in fear. We think especially of places like Yemen in this moment. We pray for all those who are grieving the loss of loved ones on the airplane, all those who are grieving the loss of loved ones in Kenya. We pray, gracious God, for all who feel pain and sorrow. We pray for your risen resurrection, joy, and hope to be with everyone for whom Christ is risen. We pray this in Jesus' name.